You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
It may be hard to believe that the mall in Short Hills, New Jersey, or a Trader Joe's store in Cobble Hill, Brooklyn, could be places of historical significance, but according to Vogue contributing editor Robert Sullivan, these and many other seemingly mundane places throughout the tri-state area are located where important Revolutionary War moments unfolded. In his latest book, My American Revolution, A Modern Expedition Through History's Forgotten Battlegrounds, he visits some of these sites and pieces the story of the Revolutionary War together through our modern towns, cities, parks, and architecture. It's published by Picador. I'm very pleased to welcome Robert Sullivan to our show. Hi.
Hi.
Now, I go to the top of the Empire State Building only when friends are visiting from out of town, but you visited often for another reason?
If you're a frustrated landscape painter, I mean, I'm even more frustrated. I can't paint, and so
that's pretty frustrating if you want to be a painter.
But you go up to the top of the Empire State Building or any vista in the area, and you can kind of, you can for a second in your brain kind of paint a landscape, and that's what this is all about.
But you say you're also looking for places that were significant in the Revolutionary War?
Yeah, well,
you have to know where to look, don't you?
Well, so this is why this is sort of a ridiculous project to write this book in many ways. And so if you want to be a landscape painter and you want to kind of paint the history painting of the New York area, then you go to the top of the Empire State Building and you come down now with your typewriter. And you type up everything you see in that landscape. So you're making the Great Crossing of the Delaware painting, but it's the Empire State Building. In fact, you can see just about that far on a clear day to the Delaware.
You argue that although some of the more famous moments of the Revolutionary War took place in other parts of the East Coast, like Massachusetts and Virginia, the majority of the battles were fought in New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania.
America does not want to hear it, even though Abraham Lincoln used to tell him, America doesn't want to hear it, but we are here because of New Jersey.
Now, what were these are the middle colonies. What were they like at the time?
Well, the middle colonies are the most interesting colonies. You know, up in New England, everybody's sort of leaving and migrating out. There are very few jobs. It's kind of the 1% owns the remaining of the land. And in the southern colonies, again, it's very much like the British plantation system and sort of a sort of wealthy landowning class. But in the middle colonies, it's immigrants and people coming with all different ideas about what freedom is. And these, of course, are not the great heroes. And so that's the great thing about this. The view from the Empire State Building is, yes, the war was won here, but this is not the landscape of heroic victories. It's the opposite.
Well, so many of the battles were lost, unfortunately.
Lost.
But also there were Tories in this area, and New York had its share of Tories.
New York, everybody cleared out, I think, around this time. Well, let's see. Around this time in 1776, the British have just kicked Washington out of Brooklyn, of course. He's being chased up Manhattan into the Bronx. By Thanksgiving, he'll be running down to the Delaware River. But and then who will remain? Tories will remain and people who don't want to say. And soon many of them will be jailed.
Now, despite that, why aren't some of the significant places like Fort Greene Park, for example, associated with the Revolutionary War?
Well, you know,
and Washington not only crossed the Delaware, you point out he crossed the East River and the Hudson.
He crossed the East River and the Hudson, and the East River crossing is one of the great military evacuations of all time. So it is written. I love to think about what that was. But so this is the best question. Why don't we remember these places?
Only Francis Tavern, I think, is the only place that we associate with that period.
I guess we were
and that
foodies
George Washington statue on Wall Street.
And the George Washington statue on Wall Street is the perfect contrast. Thank you for bringing it up to Fort Greene Park. Fort Greene Park, what does it have in it? Probably you could stop most people on the street and they wouldn't know. It has the remains of something like 10,000 people who died on the prison ships that were right off of Brooklyn Navy Yard. Okay, so you take those ships, 10,000 people. How many people died in battle in the Revolutionary War? They think it might have been around 8,000. So more people died on these prison ships. And who was on the prison ships? Well, Of course, captured soldiers from battle, but also people who didn't tip their hats to the British, who controlled New York, as he pointed out afterwards. And also sailors from Spain who got caught up in anything. And also African-Americans who were not acting slave-like. Everybody who didn't have power was on that ship. And if you got off, you had power. And if I can just to contrast it with that statue of George Washington, in the 1890s and even earlier, in the 1790s, everybody chipped in, all the businessmen chipped in to build that statue. But everybody else in town said, what are you doing building a statue to that one guy when 10,000 people's bones are laying on the side?
Well, do you think that part of it is because Wall Street was the area of power, whereas Fort Greene for a long time was a rather depressed neighborhood?
Fort Greene is a depressed neighborhood.
It has recently become very gentrified, but...
Has become very, very, very gentrified. Well, it's interesting. You know, I really tried to make this not about the revolution. It's about the revolution, but I really tried to make a kind of calendar of the year. I tried to look at history through the landscape and through that most boring thing, the weather. And so when I got to the chapter about Fort Greene Park, I actually ran into a guy who recently passed away, who was a neighborhood community organizer, a really cool African-American gentleman who was well known for organizing young people and just all kinds of great things, keeping that neighborhood alive in the 70s and 80s when nobody was there. And he, out of everybody, knew the history best. And in fact, people running a kind of celebration were trying to sort of tamp him down, you know. So people have always remembered, and there are always people who care about these places. And again, this is a really sort of dumb idea to write a book about, because I'm basically trying to be a plaque. I'm trying to say this is a cool spot.
Well, you did more. You attempted to recreate some of the experiences while you're writing this book. When George Washington crossed the East River, it wasn't the same thing as crossing the East River today, is it?
Well, I mean, now, you know, there's the East River, which, of course, isn't a river. It's a strait. It's full of tides and ebbs and flows. It's horrific. And then there's the sort of idea of the East River. And then there's the kind of great, you know, ancient notion of the river being defined by the fact that it changes every second. So you could say to me, well, this is not the same river that George Washington crossed. But I say to you that exactly because it is a different river, it is the same river.
And the first water crossing you recreated was Washington's inaugural boat ride.
That's an interesting boat ride because it was reenacted in 1933 at the sort of beginning of the Great Depression. It was reenacted in 1939, towards the end of the Great Depression, and it's been reenacted once in a while since then. But it comes from New Jersey he would have gotten in a boat in Elizabeth, New Jersey, took a carriage from Mount Vernon, and then he took a boat to New York. And if you take the Staten Island Ferry today, you get a lot of that same trip. And you're in New York Harbor, and if you block out a couple of luxury condos and some new buildings downtown, you see the very same landscape. You see the hills of Brooklyn where the Battle of Brooklyn was lost, where he thought it was all over. You can see up the Hudson River where things went better for him. You can see, most importantly, the Watchung Mountains.
Was it difficult to get someone to take you across?
It was a lot of money. I believe I was overcharged. I went with a number of fathers who had dropped off their kids at school, so it was a lot of fathers reenacting the fathers. So I actually talk a lot about fathers in here.
Well, it's a lot easier to cross the Hudson than it is to cross the East River, isn't
well,
it?
Well, here's the thing about crossing any of the rivers and crossing the harbor in general. So we tend to go and we put up plaques and we say, this is the point at which George Washington crossed this river. And we talk about the evacuation from Brooklyn. We say, he took a boat and he went from here to there. But if you go down into the boathouses that are here on the harbor now, and you go into anybody who runs a boat and you say, what if George Washington tried to take a whole army across from Brooklyn? They'd say, it didn't go in a straight line. They went pandemoniumically all across, and they got caught in the circles and the turns of the current. And this is another big theme that I'm trying to push, is that if you look at history if you look at sort of the ecology of history and the ecology of the landscape, we win when we sort of accept the tides. We lose when we don't.
Robert Sullivan's book is My American Revolution, A Modern Expedition Through History's Forgotten Battlegrounds, now available in a paperback edition by Picador. You went to Wall Street, noticed a plaque commemorating George Washington's inauguration. He was inaugurated as the first president in New York City, not in Philadelphia.
That's right.
And there was
no
Washington at the time. Were you surprised to see the plaque?
Some plaques now I know are there. I can always find a plaque that I didn't know would be there. What I was surprised, I remember very well that day, was that there were other people there who were also just kind of nosing around on their own and looking for George Washington. And then I was further surprised when the, we have regular police in New York and we have the special services guys who sometimes show up with a lot of weaponry. And one of those guys said, "You looking for Washington?" He just went upstairs to have a hot dog.
This is an impersonator?
I guess. And so one time I went down on the anniversary of the reading of the Declaration by Washington. There were thongs of people there reading the Declaration. So the sort of tides of New York don't forget these things, but everybody else does.
Another thing you attempted to do was something called signaling. What's that?
Well, this has to do with the idea that the Watchung Mountains, the mountain chain that nobody cares about in New York, was the key to the whole war. That the reason we won the war is because of a bunch of mountains in New Jersey that you can see from New York City. And so I tried to recreate the signal points that Washington set up during the Revolution to light giant fires to say, "The British are moving." These signal points, if you go and try to find them, turn out today to match up really interestingly with 1950s anti-Soviet missile strike sites. In other words, they put up weaponry to shoot down missiles at all of these sites. And now they line up with 9/11 memorials. They're vistas.
And you used mirrors. You didn't light fires.
I used a mirror. My daughter down in Brooklyn.
A listener, Linda from Bergenfield, New Jersey, says, "I hope you'll talk about historic Newbridge Landing in River Ridge, New Jersey, where you can find the bridge that saved the nation."
Yes, that is one of my favorite things about the revolution in New York and New Jersey is that's a bridge that's on the so-called retreat to victory. All through Bergen County and maybe in Union County, but Bergen County, there are signs up that say retreat to victory, one of the best phrases ever.
Washington was retreating a lot in this area.
He was running like hell through New Jersey. And so he did. And so, I walked along that route last fall, and I tried to walk the same days just after I wrote this book, just to see what it was like to walk that same route, and in that kind of a hurry, too. And I was in a lot of pain afterwards.
Now, you say you mentioned finding plaques all over the city, and you say your favorite is in Cobble Hill on the side of a building at the intersection of Court Street and Atlantic Avenue. We're talking about the Trader Joe's store that once was a South Brooklyn Savings Bank building?
Yes, T-R-A-D-E-R, Joe's, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
that's right.
Not Benedict Arnold Joe.
Well, depends on how you look at it. Although the guy who founded Trader Joe's, you probably know the story. I have a long footnote about him and how he was actually in Rommel's tank division, and later was, I think interestingly, kidnapped, and got himself released. He actually bargained with the for his ransom. He brought it down. They didn't believe he was a wealthy man because he dressed like an imposter. That Trader Joe's has a plaque, and that is where the plaque says that Washington stood here and looked down to the Gowanus Canal and saw brave men dying. And I think it's an interesting plaque. Just because it's a great plaque. It's also a beautiful plaque. It's also on the Independent Savings Bank, and there was a community component to that bank's ancestry where the banks helped the neighborhood. But I also think it's interesting because it points out a view. It talks about someone looking one way and seeing something, and that, again, is what I'm really trying to do, is get people to see things.
Well, you say that there has been debate ever since the end of the war on how to memorialize the battles and the casualties of the Revolutionary War. Did that reflect a certain amount of ambivalence about the way it proceeded? Because it was mostly a lost cause until just near the end.
Yeah, that's right. And again, as you pointed out, this is the landscape of lost battles. So, yeah, a lost cause until the end. And afterwards, immediately, the veterans are sort of, nobody thinks that we should really pay their pensions and so forth. But Congress has no problem debating where to build monuments to the generals. This, again, is the great thing about New York not being as well-known as Boston or Virginia, probably forever, even though it's, you can argue, strategically more important. The great thing is it's a landscape of humility. So humility comes from the word for earth or dust. So this is the landscape where we get to not have the biopic hero view of the revolution, but we get to have, I hate to say it, a kind of people's view.
Bill called in to add that Thomas Paine's cottage is in New Rochelle and Glover's Rock is in the Pelham Bay Park in the Bronx. Glover held the British off and got Washington another week.
I love Glover. If I had to start an army up tomorrow, he would be my first pick. Every time we were in a bind, he'd say to Washington, "Don't worry, I'll get you across the Delaware." And that rock has probably moved off-site. It's a glacial erratic.
Now, you have written this book not just as a history, but very much as a family memoir. Why that approach?
Well, you're nice to notice. Well, I mean, you know, my father got me thinking about the hills, the Watchung Mountains. I mean, you're constantly triangulating yourself in your own family's past, you know. And even my son called me up one day. I was in Bed-Stuy, and he said, "Oh, I'm in, you know, I'm over by the old Broadway Theater in Bushwick or near Bushwick. And you know, I could kind of see the retreat route for a second." But, you know, you triangulate yourself in your own family's past. And I've lived all around here, high school in New Jersey and grown up in Queens, Nassau. And, you know, my father talked about hills in Washington. And he was actually dying when I wrote this. And at one point, you know, I just kind of fell into this swamp trying to reenact this poet, America's first poet, Philip Freneau, his kind of death spiral. And, you know, you can, you know, these places, history and the ground is kind of, this leads you to sort of a segue to the spirit. You know, that's what's so sad about Seamus Heaney dying, is that his words link the earth and the spirit. You know, he had this really tactile way of digging you to a cloud.
Robert Sullivan is the author of a number of books: Rats, The Meadowlands, A Whale Hunt, most recently The Thoreau You Don't Know. His writing has appeared in The New Yorker, The New York Times, New York Public Space, and Vogue, where he's a contributing editor. His latest book, the one we've been discussing, My American Revolution, A Modern Expedition Through History's Forgotten Battlegrounds, published by Picador. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thanks for having me.